Be here this evening. Good to see all of you. Hope that you're doing well. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 92. Psalms chapter 92. And we were in this chapter last week, and we looked at the first five verses. And we looked at what was a good thing in the eyes of God. Some things that are good in the eyes of God. And we're going to look at the second half of the chapter. And we are going to look at the blessings of being planted. The blessings of being planted. And more specifically about being planted in the house of God. The blessings of being planted in the house of God. And you need to ask yourself the question this evening, are you planted in the house of God, in your local church? That's how we're going to apply the text. Now, I know that this is the Old Testament, and they did worship a little bit different than what we do here today. But God's people have always come together, and they've always met together, and they've always worshiped together, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Ever since God has called out a people, they have been coming together corporately to worship the Lord. And so we're going to look at some of the blessings of being planted in the house of God, because let's be honest, sometimes we're not always planted here. You know, we tend to go away from the church at times. We tend not to be planted like we ought to be. And so we'll look at that. Before we read the text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've blessed us with and given to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and direct us and teach us all the truth that we need to know this evening. I pray that you'd help us to be rooted and grounded in the faith and that we'd be drawn closer to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just guide us and lead us and that you would uplift and exalt and magnify yourself here this evening. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to read verses 6 down to verse number 15. And the psalmist has been talking about how loving that God is and how great his works are and the good things that are good in his sight. But in verse number 6, it says, a brutish man. And I want you to notice also in the text the two different kinds of people within the text that is being addressed here, or talked about. It says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Again, verse number 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. To be planted in the house of the Lord. That means not to move, not to go away from the house of God. I know who I'm speaking to here this evening. I understand that this is a Sunday night crowd. So I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Everyone here is pretty faithful to church, but it's always good to get a reminder about the importance of going to church and being faithful to God's house. It's vitally important for your spiritual growth for you to come to church and be with the people of God and hear the word preached. And so I want to say this at the outset, being a member of the local church does not make you saved. Just because you are a member of Grace Fellowship Baptist Church or whatever church you might be a member of, that does not mean that you're saved. Being saved is not church membership. So I don't want any of my statements that I say here this evening to come across like, well, I must be saved because I'm a member of the local church. Well, that's not salvation. That's a result of salvation. You ought to come to church and assemble with God's people since you are saved. You ought to want to do that, but that doesn't make you saved. But it's important to come to church. And so I just want us to be reminded this evening about the blessings that come from being with God's people in God's house and being faithful to God's house. When our family first moved here 5 years ago, me and my wife looked around and we saw the scarcity of the vegetation on this property here. We have 5 acres and there's a few trees. Now, they're not strategically placed. I think they were probably growing wild. I don't think anybody went out and planted these trees out here. Although Brother Butler has trimmed them. But those things were not, I don't think that somebody went out and planted them. When we looked around and we said, man, there needs to be some trees around here. We live over the parsonage. There are no trees in the front yard. And so me and my wife thought, well, we want to buy a tree and we want to plant a tree. So we went to Ace and we bought a tree. We planted that tree 5 years ago. Went out and spent, I think it was $100 or something like that. I don't even remember what kind of tree it is, but we went and we planted that tree, put it in the front yard, and we've been watering it and cultivating it and trimming it and all of that, and it's growing. It's doing good. It's putting off some shade. It's really doing good. And you know what the interesting fact about that tree is, and I'm sure this is all going to be a real shock to everyone, is that tree has not moved in 5 years. It's still there. I mean, every day I go out my front door, I look out there in the front yard, and there's that tree that we planted. Why is that tree still there, and why is it flourishing, and why is it starting to put off shade like we want? Because it's planted. It's not going anywhere. It's not moving. It's flourishing. It's growing. It's thriving. Why? Because it's planted. So God has designed and he desires for his people to come together and to be planted and to stay together and worship him in a specific place for a specific reason. And that reason is so that we may grow and flourish as Christians. Because if we don't come together and we don't find strength in this dark, dry, barren world that is destitute of the spiritual fruits of God, we ourselves will become destitute and dry. So we come together and we need to be planted in the house of God. That means be unmovable. Don't leave. Come together and be planted together. Now, the psalmist has been speaking here about two different types of people. I don't know if you caught it or not, but he's talking about the brutish. That's someone who doesn't have a whole lot of good sense. That's my way of putting it. Doesn't have a whole lot of good sense about God. He doesn't know God. He doesn't understand God. Not a whole lot of understanding there. He's talking about the fool and the wicked and the workers of iniquity and the enemies of the Lord. That's what he's been speaking about in this chapter here. I'm sure this doesn't surprise you, but there are some people out there that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that are haters of God. They are enemies of the Lord. They are enemies of righteousness. They don't love the commandments of God. They hate the commandments of God. But then there is the righteous talked about in this chapter right here. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. In order for us to thrive, we must be planted in the house of the Lord and not move and get those nutrients that we need. So God has a specific place, and he always has, for his people to come together. And the righteous flourish when they are planted in the house of the Lord. Now let me give you three blessings from coming and being planted in the house of God. You know, I don't need to say this first. I don't need to say this. But the reason that we come together is because we need to hear preaching. We need to come together and we need to hear the Word of God preached to us. We need to come together and to pray with one another. We need to come together and to praise the Lord as well. We need that strength from each other. So that's why we come together. That's why we need to be planted and rooted in this place. So three blessings that come from being planted in the house of God is, number one, there is consecration. We are set apart and put here for a reason. It's not an accident that you're here and that I'm here. God has placed us here. There's a consecration going on here. There's a setting apart going on here. Number two, there is flourishing. Would you like to flourish in your Christian life? Would you like to bear some fruit in your Christian life? That's one of the benefits and blessings of coming to the house of God. And number three, there's blooming. Blooming means we actually reflect the image of our Savior. The Bible says, "Be holy, for I am holy." We ought to reflect that image. But number one, there should be some consecration, or there is consecration. That's a blessing that comes from God for being planted in His house. Now it says in verse number 10, it says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn." Now, just in passing, it's not talking about a mythological unicorn that you might see in a lunchbox at school. That's not the kind of unicorn we're talking about. He's talking about a one-horned animal like a rhinoceros or something like that. He says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I believe David is the author of this psalm. I'm not for sure about that, but to be anointed means to be set apart. You and I are set apart for a specific purpose. That's why we're here. We have been set apart by God. The unicorn symbolized power that cannot be conquered. And the psalmist has been speaking about getting the victory over his enemies. You and I have been set apart to conquer our enemies, to overcome sin, to overcome the devil, to overcome our enemies that we have. Now, I understand that there's always going to be a battle and there's always going to be a fight in our Christian life, but we have the resources available to us from God to help us to overcome those enemies. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God, of course, is one of those, but he says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Oil in the Bible represents life, refreshment, consecration, and the Holy Spirit. It represents something new. So when the kings of Israel in the Old Testament, in the days of old, when they would set those kings apart for kingship, and they were going to be rulers over the nations, what would they do? They would anoint them with oil. They would pour oil upon them, and they would anoint them. They say, "Hey, this is your king. This is something new. This is something fresh, and it's an anointing." Same way with us here today. When you and I were saved, whether you realize it or not, you were anointed and set apart and consecrated for service. We have been set apart by God for service. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I don't know if you guys are this way, maybe you're not. Have you ever found something that someone was going to throw away and you saw that and you thought, "Man, that looks pretty good to me. I could use that." You know, I can think of two instances in my life where I did this. I used to live in Spearman. Everyone knows that. Went out to the dump one time. Had a load full of junk. I think my son was with me. He was probably about 7, 8 years old, something like that. He was excited too. He loved to go to the dump for some reason. I guess kids like to do that. They like to see the big hole in the tractors and all the junk out there. We were going to the dump. We got out there, and we started throwing away junk. We were cleaning out a garage or something like that, throwing everything away. And I looked over there, and I saw two old sawhorses sitting there that somebody had thrown away. I don't have sawhorses. I need sawhorses. I looked at those things. They're a little bit rickety. I thought, well, I can use those. I got them, and I threw them in the back of my pickup, and there's a sign that is coming into the landfill that says, you can't scavenge. You can't take away junk. And I was driving by, and I was like, oh, boy, there's a landfill attendant. He's going to say something to me. And he was looking at me, and he saw the stuff in my pickup, and I said, is it okay if I can take that? Yeah, go ahead. Take it. You know what? I still have those sawhorses out there. I found them in the landfill. Another instance. Me and my wife used to like to look for stuff. We'd be looking down the alleys. What's people throwing away? You know what we found one time? We found a big, huge wooden swing. Man, that thing was big, sturdy, nice. It was great. But it was broken a little bit in the middle. And so we got out of the pickup, and we threw that thing in the back of our pickup. I took it home, put some new wood on it. Man, I think it was a nice swing. It was awesome. Somebody had thrown that away. They said, man, this stuff is worthless. It's junk. Don't need it. I don't want it. But we saw some value in that. We said, man, that looks good. That's valuable. So one man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, it's the same way with God. Some people might not think that you're valuable. And as a matter of fact, you were destined to a place called hell. The big trash heap. Trash heap of the world. But God says, hey, wait a second. I'm going to rescue that person. I'm going to save that person. So we were like that worthless, something worthless. And God said, hey, that's valuable. I'll take it and I'll make something of that person. I'll rescue that person. And he starts working on you to make you valuable in his sight. He consecrates you. He sets you apart. He makes you his own. Before you got saved, what'd you do? Man, you were all about the flesh, all about living for yourself. And God says, hey, I will take that heart of stone out of his chest, and I will put a heart of flesh in there. And I will give him my spirit, and I will make him something. I will make something of him. Consecrated. Consecrated. We were consecrated. You have the anointing. Now, you might flip on the channel and you might find something on some station, Christian station, about anointing. Hey, man, do you have the special anointing? You got to have that special anointing, man. You got to have that special, you know. You got to get that anointing. Did you know there's no such thing in the Bible? Every Christian's anointed. Every Christian has that anointing. Don't be searching for something extra like, hey, I haven't spoken in tongues yet. I got to get that anointing. No. No, you have the anointing. You've got it. It says in, we are set apart, the Bible says, consecrated at salvation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you. You have that anointing. Set apart. That's a blessing. Now, you understand the scriptures. Now you want to understand the scriptures. Now you desire righteousness. Now you desire God. Now you desire to please him. Why? Because of that anointing. Because of that consecration. That's a blessing. We are not only consecrated at salvation, we are consecrated to serve him and preach the gospel through the Holy Spirit of God. Our Savior, when he was speaking in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You and I, when we're set apart, we are set apart to preach the gospel to other people. We are set apart to serve the Lord. Each and every one of us have that. And then, number three, we are set apart and consecrated for holiness. Did you know that the Lord wants you to live a holy life? He desires your holiness. He does not want you to live in that same sinful condition that you started out in. He wants your holiness. You've been set apart for that. As I already said this evening, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we've been set apart for that. The Apostle Paul, I believe, was in 1 Thessalonians, says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's setting apart. that you abstain from fornication. Now, I realize that that's not just a popular message in our society today, but that's what the Word of God says. No fornication. Abstain from that ungodliness. Ungodliness. So you and I are set apart. We are consecrated. That's a blessing of being in the house of God. Anointed and given new life from God, He plants us in His house. And by the way, God does not plant dead matter. He plants living stones. We are part of a living household. Living. Now, once we are consecrated, once we are set apart, you know what else happens? The next step that happens, we start bearing some fruit. What would you think of a plant that never bore any fruit? What if you planted an apple tree and 10 years later it didn't bear any apples? You'd say, hey, there's something wrong with that plant. It needs to bear some fruit. You and I are set apart and put in the church of God, in the house of God, to bear fruit. We must bear fruit. It says in verse number 12, that's the flourishing. That means that your influence goes outside of you. You flourish. Verse number 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You want to flourish in your Christian life? Come to the house of God. Be planted in the house of God. Verse number 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. To flourish means to break forth or to grow. So we grow. We must come to the house of God to get nutrients from the Word of God so that we may grow. So that we can bear fruit to the Lord. Now, I'm not sure if you saw this, but the wicked are also flourishing in this chapter, along with the righteous people. It says in verse number 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. So the wicked out there, they're flourishing, and they're growing. But guess what? There's an end coming for them. It's destruction. What about the Christian? We're bringing forth fruit to God. So God saves us and plants us in His house because He intends to bring forth fruit in our lives. I doubt if there's any farmers here besides Dad. I'm not much of a farmer. Brother Martinez, he's not here though. Oh, this Martinez. Now he would know about this. You got an open field out there. You don't have anything planted on it. You go out there and you plow it up. You never touch it besides plowing it. You know what's going to grow up out there? Stalks of corn? No, probably not. Weeds, huh? Naturally, the ground brings up weeds in its natural state. You know, they don't sell weed seed. You can't go and buy tumbleweed seed. I can't go down to Jibo's and get tumbleweed seed. Why not? Well, it just grows naturally, all the time. You don't have to do anything. Just let it grow. You know what you have to do? If you want something valuable, if you want something that's going to bear some fruit, something you can actually eat that's edible, you have to go out there, you have to start hoeing, you have to start working the ground, you have to start cultivating, you have to start irrigating, you have to do all of that in order to get something valuable that you can eat, something that's good. You know what? Same way with our Christian, not with our Christian life, but with people in general. You know what we produce in our natural state before salvation? Weeds. Bad stuff. Nothing good, nothing valuable. You know what needs to happen? Somebody needs to come in and they need to work on us and they need to do something, they need to plant something in us that's good and valuable and cultivate us. That's what the Word of God does. It brings forth fruit in our lives so that we may flourish. So we come together and we hear the preaching of the Word of God so that we can flourish and it will bring forth fruit. It says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 37, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He's the farmer. He's going to sow some good seed so that he can bring forth fruit under righteousness and holiness. So being fruitful is closely connected and completely inseparable from His Word. If you want to bring forth fruit to God, you have to have the Word of God. Because it's the seed that brings forth the fruit. I was talking to Brother John Montoya this morning. And he just happened to bring up Psalm chapter number 1. He says, I've been trying to memorize Psalm chapter number 1. You know, I memorized that chapter whenever I was a kid. I don't remember how old I was, maybe 12, 13, 14 years old. You know, it goes right along with this message. Man, if you have the chance, you should memorize that chapter. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Amen. Why do we come to church to hear the word of God preached? So that we can be fruitful. Fruitful. You know what else the Bible closely connects with being fruitful as a Christian? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples and he said, you are the vine and I am, you are the branches and I am the vine. If I'm saying that right. We can look that up, or I think I can read it right here. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. He says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. So we come to church to hear preaching about Jesus Christ so that we can bring forth fruit in our lives. So to come to the house of God is to be a flourishing, fruitful Christians. You know what happens whenever we bring forth fruit unto God? Boy, it makes us beautiful. It makes us blossom into something. Now the psalmist is speaking here in the last verse, chapter number 92. Let's read verse 14 and 15 together. They shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. You know what happens whenever we bring forth fruit unto God? We show that the Lord is who he says he is and that he is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. We show that God is righteous, that he is a rock, and all of these things, that he is upright. So the psalmist is saying that he is reflecting the truth about God to the wicked and unbelieving world. When you and I bear fruit to God, we show and we reflect the image of our Savior to an unbelieving world. Our lives reflect his righteousness. Our lives reflect his holiness. And we flourish and we blossom into something beautiful for the Lord. A fruit-bearing Christian exposes and vindicates the Lord he serves as powerful, steadfast, and a righteous God. So we come to church to bear fruit and to have a beautiful life to show to an unbelieving world out there, to blossom for the Lord, to show the beauty of our Savior, if I'm saying that right. Whenever we see a beautiful flower out there blossoming, do you know what we're looking at? We're looking at the handiwork of our Creator. We're saying, wow, look what the Lord did right there with this flower. It's so beautiful. Wouldn't you want someone to say that about your life? Look what the Lord did in this person's life. Look how beautiful. Look what God took him or her from. Took him out of him or her out of her sins and made him some or her something beautiful to look at. We reflect the beauty of our Savior. So we are planted in the house of God to reflect the glory of our God. We leave those old sins behind and we follow righteousness and holiness. We reflect our Savior and our God. We were saved and born again to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, not to be conformed to this world. As a matter of fact, we have been plucked and uprooted from this world so that we could not be conformed to the world anymore, but so that we can be conformed to Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason for it. Being saved. Saved from our sins. Saved from unrighteousness, and saved to reflect the image of Jesus Christ and to blossom into something beautiful. Excuse me. So our lives should be different from the rest of the world. What must you and I do in order to benefit from the blessings of being planted and rooted in the house of God? What must we do? Well, number one, you have to be in close proximity to the house of God. You have to be close to the preaching of the Word of God. Now, if you take a plant and you put it in a dark room with no water and no sunlight, shut off the light and the water, what's going to happen to that plant? It's probably going to wither up and dry up, isn't it? It's not going to flourish. It's not going to grow. It's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to do any of those things. If you and I want to flourish in this world, we have to be close to the preaching of His Word. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is like water for our souls. You and I need that soul-sustaining water and food and light from His Word. What's out there in the world? Any spiritual nutrients? No. No, this world is a dark, dry, barren land. It's destitute of those nutrients. It's destitute of truth. Search the world over. You won't find it. We need to come and be a part of God's church. So you must be in close proximity to those nutrients. Number two, you need to establish roots. You have to establish roots. You can't just hear today and gone tomorrow. You have to establish roots in order to stay, in order to be planted. What do so many people do? Oh, they're here for a while and then they're gone, and they don't establish those roots. They don't stay planted there. I understand people have to move sometimes and all of these things. You find another church in another town. Yes, I understand those things. But would you be willing to plant roots? Would you be willing to stay? Would you be willing to develop some lasting relationships and friendships with the people of God and grow some roots here? Paul the Apostle was speaking to the church at Colossae, and he says to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now, I hate to say it, but a lot of Christians are more rooted in this world than they are in the Word of God or Jesus Christ. They're not rooted in that. If you want to be rooted, get to where the preaching is. Get to where the Word of God is. And establish some roots. We planted that tree 5 years ago. It's still there. Where are you going to be in 5 years? Will you still be at God's house? Or where will you be? You should think about that. Grow some roots in the house of God. Be planted in the house of God. Be steadfast in the house of God. Don't go. Don't leave. Stay. Stay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. Father, we pray that You'd help us to be steadfast in this dry, barren, and desert land we call this world. Pray that You'd help us to be rooted and grounded in the faith, and be planted firmly in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen us and help us in the days to come. Praying us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.